are escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the newest episode of the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast. So glad that you are joining us. This is Gio and my co-host,
Sarai.
We're the youth pastors of LWIM. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, BDSM is at the center of the news again. 50 Shades of Grey has not finished its controversy.
Nope.
We can be assured that this will not be the end of it. I have to attribute to my father the prediction of this garnering many more, shall we call it, sexual violations, because a person saying that they were going to imitate the romanticized view of BDSM in 50 Shades of Grey, both the movie and the book trilogy. I'm wondering, are they going to release two extra parts?
I would say yes. I mean, if it did well in the movie theaters and it garnered up money, hey, by all means.
Forget the fact that we're undermining the very sex act and we're making human beings look like mere animals.
That's
as long as it's making some money at the box office, that's enough justification for us to produce a second and a third and even a fourth film. Why do I say a fourth film? Have you not seen the tendency with both Twilight and The Hunger Games? They take the last part and to squeeze all the money that they can out of the series, they'll make the third part a two-parter. They'll split it in half. Well, I have to, like I said beforehand, credit my dad because he did call for the appearance of cases in the future of women and maybe even some men who would cry foul over their sexual partners, stating that they were imitating what they read in the book and seen in the film.
No, and he did state it. I don't know if he did it on a podcast or if it was among us in private. And yes, I do attribute credit because he did say so. And here we have the report.
Well, here it is with the freshly printed paper. BDSM and weird sex games are par for the course at 50 Shades Defendant's campus. The University of Illinois Chicago, student facing jail time for acting out 50 Shades of Grey scenes on a sex partner isn't an outlier at the school. The College Fix found campus-sponsored activities over the years that celebrate BDSM activities and encourage students to participate in weird sex games.
Now, hold on a second.
Okay,
because
I'm holding.
This is something that has always, I don't want to say always, but it's popular among universities. Miami-Dade does it here locally in Miami, Florida. Florida International University does it. University of Miami does it. So these activities are popular among colleges.
Of course, we're not excusing it. We're not justifying it.
No,
but what you're saying is that this is more prevalent that one, maybe parents are led to believe.
Right. And I don't want them to think that just because the movie came out or the listener that, you know, that if they're assuming that just because the movie came out, now all of a sudden, this is the reason why they're finding that a lot of campuses are doing this. I don't think it's because of the film. I think that even years before this, it's always been there.
The report is going
campuses.
To show that. The report is going to show that. And I'm glad that we bring up, well, you were the one that found this particular report. But I'm glad that we brought this to the fore. And I'll explain why. Two reasons. First and foremost, we've showcased it before. We've stated it before that there is a morality behind sex within the context of a heterogeneous structure, heterosexual structure. Having said that and spoken my piece on that, and I know you've spoken your piece on that also on various occasions, this is a wonderful bit of news for our listening audience. Some might be scandalized by saying, Gio, you're calling a story of rape a wonderful bit of news for the listening audience. Do you know what you have just said? Allow me to elucidate. Many parents have come to believe the lie of both the secularists in our culture, the talking heads, and by their own children that when the students are headed to college, they're there to learn and they're going to be prepared for the rest of their lives if they acquire a four-year degree. First and foremost, if you are a parent and you're listening to this program, your children are lying to you. They're looking more for the partying aspect of college.
Exactly.
Not everyone, but I would dare say the great majority of it. This is the reason that most of the pupils are headed away from home, because they don't want mom and dad finding out what they're doing with the money that the progenitors are providing the pupils with in their spare time in college. That's number one. Number two, colleges have been propagating this idea that if you send your son or daughter to an institution of higher learning, we will leave them utterly prepared for their future. They will not want economically. They will have sustenance for the rest of their existence. And yet, I just heard recently that the collective student debt load in the United States is more than $1 trillion. $1 trillion for college, much of which cannot be paid back.
Of course.
But of course, since many of the universities are being subsidized by the federal government, a.k.a. you and me, via our tax money, the universities don't care that the pupils are leaving university with 4-6-year degrees, 8-year degrees, with $40,000 to $100,000 debts that is hanging over the heads of those persons for the rest of their lives in many instances. That's number two. Number three, the education that they're getting is not really an education, and there are other option. This is where I prove my point that I think this bit of news should be an eye-opener and should be beneficial to our listening audience.
Of course.
Why? Mom, dad, dear student, there are other options. You don't have to go to a top-name college, particularly, and indebt yourself for the rest of your life. Let it be known that more than 54% of students that graduate with either a 2 or 4-year degree cannot find jobs in the field that they studied in the university classrooms, thus rendering their college diplomas useless. I recently heard a YouTuber say something that is wonderful, and I think it is a magnificent idea. Tell me if you concur with me, honey. If you can't find a job, there should be an assurance, a warranty package attached to your monies that you spend in university and your degree.
Of course.
If you can't find a job within 6 months to a year, having graduated, you should get your money back.
Of course. Of course. And unfortunately, many kids are going into the college sphere saying, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to study that. Look, at the end of the day, if you're not going to become a nurse or a doctor, which are fields that if you take out student loans, you'll be able to probably pay them back because you're going to be making X amount of money. But at the end of the day, if you're not going into the medical field and or maybe even the teaching field, and you're going to get an arts major, where are you going to find a job? Do you seriously see yourself? Now, again, let me clear the air, because I'm not belittling museums. I actually like museums, and one can learn a lot from them. But not everyone sees themselves in a museum for the rest of their lives. So if you're going there for an arts major, what are the chances are you going to come out not only with a job opportunity once you graduate, but to be able to sustain you and your family? It makes no sense. And unfortunately, a lot of these kids are graduating and have this humongous debt that at the end of the day, there's that probability that they will not be able to pay that money back.
Economically speaking, it is unreasonable to spend that amount of money with no return on investment.
Correct.
I'm not an economist, but I do have some common sense. And to me, it makes no sense to expend that amount of money when I know for a fact that that debt is going to be hanging over my head for the rest of my life. And then also understanding that I might not be able to officiate, to introduce myself into what I studied and make return on investment. It makes absolutely no sense. Now, Gio, Sarai, some might ask, why are you bringing this to the fore on this particular edition? Well, and what is the correlation between this individual whom has raped this young lady, and this court case is being tried. I do not see how one thing fits in with another. Allow me to explain. Let's read down into this report. It says, the College Fix found campus-sponsored activities over the years that celebrate BDSM activities and encourage students to participate in weird sex games. Again, mom and dad, if you're sending your son or daughter off to college, most likely your children are going to be learning some kinky items at the same time, even though you sent them to school thinking they're there to be educated.
Of course, especially in frat parties.
Especially. Well, but look at this. Universities themselves, their administration, are the ones sponsoring the events that we are about to broadcast here. Freshman Mohammed Hossein. Okay, I need to pause. Why doesn't this surprise me that this man has an Arabic or Muslim name to him? Do the listeners know that one of the biggest consumers of pornography in the world are middle-aged Arab Middle Eastern men? People don't know this. They don't understand. They think the United States, Great Britain, South America, biggest distributors and consumers of pornography. In the Middle East, in Sharia law nations, they are among the biggest consumers of pornography.
Mm.
Well, that's the result when you degrade the woman like Sharia law does and the Quran does, right? Freshman Mohammed Hussein was charged with sexually assaulting a 19-year-old female student, according to the Chicago Tribune. On Monday, Judge Adam Bourgeois released Hussein on $500,000 bail. He would say that it was consensual. Public defender Sandra Benowitz argued in court, wait a minute, a Jew defending an Arab. That's ironic, isn't it? Referring to Hussein's sexual activities with the unidentified woman, a previous intimate partner. All right, here it is. The alleged assault involved tying up the woman, striking her with a belt, and punching her several times. It's just a love tap, he would probably explain, right? According to the Daily Mail, Hossein told police that they were reenacting scenes from 50 Shades of Grey. You know how it is with sin. Never just enough to have one drink. Always have to go to the second or third or tenth. And with sex, it's not just enough with having premarital sex. Then we have to indulge in things that probably provide more, supposedly, a more pleasurable experience. But we don't know if we are degrading ourselves to a mere animal status and at the same time degrading the person that we are engaging in coitus with also to mere animal status and violating God's laws in the process.
Yeah, and I think it's beneath animal because I've never heard of an animal striking another one. You know, when they do, it's because they're hunting. And then you have the punching. When do you see another animal hit them because now they're trying to procreate and have kids, no?
Maybe since...
Or I'm sorry, have babies.
I'm assuming the report doesn't say anything about being a Muslim, but I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was just following the Quran and says, beat her lightly. Or that's the American version of the Quran, even though that's not his wife. But maybe in his own mind, he was thinking, this could be my wife, and he beat her because she did not want to submit.
Exactly. But this is the part of the article where I want to make a pause and go back to what your father had spoken, because this is, in essence, what he spoke about. And he said, look, the time is going to come where now a woman's going to say, hold on a second, I got raped. Well, wait a second. Didn't you allude to 50 Shades of Grey? Didn't you allude to some type of video or pornography that you wanted to implement in your sex life because it was maybe too dull or you needed to spice things up? And out of trying to undull things and make things more spicy, all of a sudden things get out of hand and now you're crying foul play and now you're saying, wait, I got raped.
You know, I have to say this. I know that many persons in our politically correct age will probably balk and rebuff the following statements. But I cannot excuse... You know what? Let me preface it by saying this. Usually in these types of stories, I like to give it some time for the whole story to develop. We know how the Western news media works now. Everybody wants to be the first on the scene. even though if it means inaccurate reporting.
Exactly, because they want to be the first ones to report it.
They want to be able to say, we're always first on scene, so come to us. It doesn't mean, just because you're first on scene doesn't mean you're going to be accurate in your reporting. I remember Sandy Hook Elementary, even Fox News, 50% of the things that they were reporting was wrong. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, they reported it wasn't Adam Lanza that committed the atrocities. It was his brother. Mm-hmm. And they held him in, or the public held him in contempt for some time, even though the venerated Fox News by many conservatives reported erroneously on that. That's just to give one example. So I'd like to give some time for these things to pass to get the full picture, because initially, in the haste that many news media organizations have to be the first to report this, sometimes they obfuscate important details. Among those important details is whether or not she was consenting to this sort of sexual activity. And if this is the case, if this is truly the case, then shame on her. I know that sounds horrendous and it sounds uncouth in our PC age, but why would you put yourself in that position in the first place?
And knowing that things could get out of hand, you are saying, all right, let's do this. No.
I am not lifting culpability from Hossein, but still, what was she doing there in the first place?
And the fact that they were imitating the movie, it goes to show me and proves me again that what the movie has to offer is garbage. And it's beneath human being-like things.
It is certainly deleterious to the public weal, and the report continues saying that Hossein's partner told him to stop and began shaking her head and crying. Assistant State Attorney Sarah Carr told the court, the Tribune said. And when she struggled to free her arms, Hossein held her arms behind her back even as she pleaded for him to stop, and he held the door shut when his roommate interrupted their encounter, Carr said. The woman called police after telling another person what happened. She added, media reports of the court appearance suggest that Hossein and his partner did not decide on a safe word to use during their encounter, a standard recommendation for BDSM activities. We have to have a safe word. It's not that the activity itself could be damaging physically and emotionally, but it's we need to decide on a safe word just in case things go a bit
too far. Yeah, God forbid we condone it.
Well, here's the portion that I wanted to get to. While the alleged assault occurred in Hossein's dorm, he is hardly the first member of the UIC community to try his hand at BDSM. For example, the school hosted a 1998 lesbian health conference that included a presentation on leather, BDSM, in the lesbian, bisexual, and transgender women's community. Essential learning, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. It's pivot. As a matter of fact, you know, they should get more pamphlets and books on this.
This should be a class that students have to pay for. A sociology PhD student at the university gave a 2012 presentation in her department entitled Beyond Whips and Chains about BDSM. Another essential class for students, especially sociology students, wouldn't you say? Mm. And every year, the university's Wellness Center and Center for Research on Women and Gender host a Safer Sex Fest. Yes, Safer Sex Fest. Absolutely. The first festival in 2010 included some bizarre games, according to the Argus, an independent campus newspaper. Ready for this? Here are the saucy details. One game included a female trying to pop a balloon on a male student's lap, using different sexual positions in order to condition participants to use a condom, which one observer said didn't make sense, the Argus said. Key word here, condition. Many people think that persons like you and I are ludicrous, lunatic, even. Because we say colleges and the persons that participate, many of those individuals in the scholastic community, would like to indoctrinate pupils. Look at the word that they're using. Condition. In other words, they want to try to normalize perverse behavior in the minds of the participants.
Which is a reason why a lot of these students, pupils who enter these colleges, come out with no education, no form of education at all. They get out, they can't find a job. There's no education under the belt, and there's pure indoctrination going on in our school systems and in the college systems. And this just proves that these type of classes are being taught within these universities, And why should a student be forced to pay for this class and say, you can't get your major without this type of class? Why?
I'm thinking that you make a good point. I'm pretty sure in a lot of classes, there are professors that will try to introduce wicked ideas to the students. I'll give you an example. Recently, well, that's not recent. I have to restate that. A few years ago, it's not very recent. A few years ago, my father told me of an incident of a former congregant that she went to the University of Florida. And she was taking, I think she was majoring in law, seeking to become an attorney. And when she enters that classroom, she notices that the professor has a screen and a DVD player. And he begins to play pornography. And she asks the professor, of course, she objected to viewing that salacious content. Professor, this is violating my religious conscience. And what does this have to do with law? He says, well, look at his pretext. Notice how cunning, how crafty, how astute these perverted individuals, they present their debauched ideas into the minds and hearts of impressionable young minds. It could be that in the future, you might have to deal with a case of rape, and you'll have to see the evidence for yourself in order to determine whether or not a person is at fault.
Well, when you're seeing pornography, you're not seeing rape. You're seeing two people who have consensually decided to go beyond human-like positions or acts and go full forth. So there isn't, pornography isn't about a person who doesn't want to have sex and the other person forcing themselves on this person without their consent. That's not pornography. So look at the way that he's trying to excuse away the fact that he is playing this DVD. Shame on him.
To my point. And by the way, he threatened her that if she did not stay and watch the video, that he would essentially flunk her. How's that for extortion?
Hmm.
Well, thankfully, if I do remember the narrative correctly, she did stand her ground, and I think she was able to appeal that case and win it. Having said all that, I return back to the original point of why this news is important for us to understand. Mom and dad, do not buy into the romanticist notion that the modern day, this epoch of education, is anything near education. It is not. It is indoctrination. The school system, beginning from perfunctory and enforced schooling at an early age, is nothing more than conditioning, to use the term employed by the reportage, of young minds from an early age, from things from evolution to libertinistic sex, to undermining the authority of the parents in the children's minds, and to impose the belief that the state is the superior entity in mankind's existence. That's number one. Number two, it is also a business model. Do not forget that these universities are in business to make business.
Of course.
And they are overcharging for absolutely everything that you are supposedly learning in their centers. That's number two. Number three, what is the advice I would give to parents and pupils alike? Two pieces of advice. First and foremost, to the pupils, you don't need to attend a big name university. There are plenty of alternatives, including online education.
Of course.
Which is at least 3 to 4 times less expensive. You will not incur a debt for the rest of your life. I've seen the same courses that are given at places like Miami-Dade, FIU, to speak about local schools here, and even Harvard and whatnot, given online for maybe they would charge you $30,000, $40,000. You can obtain those same classes and a degree, the same degree, associates, bachelor's, master's, for about $3,000 to $7,000, which is affordable for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be able to eliminate that debt rather quickly. Next on the docket, if you are going to go to college and you do choose this option, which I hope you do, and it's, I think, economically sound to do so, make sure that you pick a major where you know for a fact you're going to be able to find a job. Like you said, do not go for a liberal arts degree. Please, you're not going to be the next huge director in Hollywood. And last on that list for pupils, and I think this also goes for parents. Sometimes I would dare say that much of this education is not for everyone. So what I would advise them is start a business.
Exactly.
In many instances, you will be 4 years ahead of your peers once they graduate without a job, and they're having to work jobs that are only, you know, high school diplomas are required. And you're probably going to be making a 5 to 6 figure salary way before they do, and if they ever do, because they have all that debt hanging over their head. Start a business. Do something that you enjoy. Do you know how many people are taking online now, because it's such a wonderful resource, by the way, the internet, are selling items, are making a living off selling items or services on Etsy, eBay, making their own website, offering services.
That's right.
And they're doing it. They're out there and they're working. They're gaining life experience. And don't be afraid to fail. Failure is a part of life.
Of course.
That's just the way it is. You're going to get the door smacked in your face. But if you fear, if you have fear, then you don't learn. That's the advice that I would give. So sometimes I would dare say to some people, skip the college, get to work.
Yeah, and invest in something that, look, my advice would be, yes, I agree with the both points that you made, and be realistic. Always be realistic. You know, if you're going to go into the in the music business, in the music industry, be realistic. If you're a female, it's going to be harder for you to become a music producer. If you're a female and you want to go into sports medicine, it's going to be a hard field to get in because you're a female. And unfortunately, that's just how it is. So,
but the thing is, you can even make your own way. You don't have to allude to the bouncers of the industry, if you will, like I like to call them.
Right. And
you
and
can if be you, creative and create your own little sector in that industry.
Of course. And I mean, YouTube, you know how many people have made a killing just off of creating videos in YouTubes? So maybe you have a talent. Maybe you know how to make something. Well, start making videos, and you never know what can come out of that. So I agree. Try making your own business. Look, I had a student last night approach me, and he said that he needed to garner up 300 signatures in order to be part of a government club at a local university here. And I told him, so if you garner up these signatures and you get in, what happens when they want to kick you out? Are they going to garner up those same signatures, or are they just going to vote on themselves and kick you out? So what was my recommendation? Start your own club. Start your own club. If your thing is politics, do something with conservative or Republican roots, conservative roots. Start your own club and get the signatures that you need or the people that you need to start their own club, and you do it with your own rules.
I think that's very simple, very sound advice. Well, we thank you so much for tuning in. We thank you so much for listening. We can download this podcast immediately after its conclusion on our website, lwym.org, lwym.org. Share it with your friends, family members, co-workers, co-students, even strangers. If you have any questions, email us, info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. For Sarai, this has been Gio. We will meet again on the next time that we meet, and that's, yes, next time we meet. Anyways, we wish you Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish. But a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.